Colossians chapter 1. Remember, we've got camp coming up Monday. Camp coming up Monday. Be here at 7:45. 7:30. True, yeah. Yeah, we're going to get the vans early so we can get out of here early. Yeah, 7:30 so we can get out of here earlier than last time. Yeah. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Talk about praying for others tonight. Practical thing for what we do on Wednesday night. You know, do some preaching and then pray for other folks. That's what Paul is, you know, with some of these letters like Colossians, they're kind of like missionary prayer letters sometimes. The way Paul writes them. And anyhow, Colossians 1:9, Paul says this. He says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God," and all that. That sentence goes on to about verse 17. I'll stop reading there, though. But the first part, verse 9, is what we want to focus on tonight. "This cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." So, again, Paul hears about the Colossians, hears about their faith, and he's thankful for them and starts to pray for them when he hears about what's going on in the Colossian church with the Colossians. And I'll say this, in praying for others, hopefully we can be encouraged about it tonight to pray for others. You and I, you could probably name multiple times in your life where something to your benefit happened because someone else was praying for you. I know I think about some stuff that happened this month that somebody said, you know, "We're praying for you," and it was just like answered because they're praying. And so it's a blessing to know people are praying for you. It's a blessing to know there's just some folks that seem to be able to get a hold of the Lord, and it's a blessing to know people are praying for you. And the encouragement tonight, as we go through some of these, I'm going to give you several examples in the Bible of people praying for other people and just show you the benefits of it, but to be an encouragement to do it. And not that I don't think anybody does. I think all of you do. I know you do. You're here on Wednesday night. We're praying for folks on prayer lists and all that stuff. But it's a blessing, and maybe hopefully be a little bit of a boost this evening. To be more of a prayer warrior for other people. So let's pray, and I want to just show you a few examples in the Bible about folks who prayed for other people and the benefits of that. And if you want to really be a blessing to somebody, you pray for them and then watch the Lord work in their life, and man, that can be a real blessing. I just, before I pray, I literally, just before I left, the neighbor came over, and we got to talking and everything, and that was one thing he says after he leaves. He says, "Man, it's always a pleasure to talk to you." And he says, "Just pray for me. Just pray for me." And I told him, I said, "You're on the prayer list, Roblo. You're on the prayer list, and we pray for you." And so, anyhow, you want to be that blessing. You want to be the person that's praying for other people. So let's pray. And again, I'll just go through some examples in the Bible and show you some of these benefits that occurred when people prayed for other people. Let's pray first. Father, I thank you for everybody that's here tonight. I pray that you would feed your flock tonight, that you'd help us, encourage us. Lord, prayer is such a simple thing, yet so neglected. That between entertainment and TV and just other things we occupy our time with, Lord, that the prayer life seems to get neglected a lot of times, and I pray we would be better and more apt to pray and praying people. I pray be encouraged tonight watching some of these illustrations, looking to some of these illustrations and examples of people who prayed for other people and watched you work and just watched you dispatch resources that you have on someone else's behalf. And I pray we'd understand that and see it that way. And thank you for everybody that's here tonight. I pray you'd bless each soul for being here. And again, please, please feed us, please encourage us, please help us tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm gonna show you a few examples in the Bible about folks praying for other people. And like I said, I imagine if we were to give testimonies, every one of you guys could say a few examples of times in your life where you were the beneficiary of someone else's prayer. I'd think about maybe even some of you when you got saved. You got saved because somebody was praying for you, and the Lord saw fit to, I don't know how else to put it, but dispatch some resources on your behalf. I read about that stuff in Acts where there's somebody praying and the Lord hears those prayers and he sends someone to answer those prayers, and it's like all these resources are available and they're available for the asking, and a lot of times the problem is people just aren't asking for them. So let me show you a few examples here. We'll get right to it here. Look back in Genesis chapter 20. We'll start here with Abraham. Genesis chapter 20 and verse 6. Abraham prays for a fella. Genesis chapter 20, verse 6. Abimelech is the king here. And he sees Sarah. He likes Sarah. He doesn't know Sarah's married because Abraham has lied to him about that. And so the Lord warns him about marrying Sarah. He says she's already someone's wife. And this is what's said in Genesis chapter 20, verse 6. It says, "And God said unto him in a dream, Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thine heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife." He's talking to Abimelech about Sarah and Abraham. "Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he's a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine." Then look down in verse 17. "So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children, for the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife." So the first example here is Abimelech and Abraham. And Abraham's called the friend of God and all that. Abimelech is warned in this dream, don't touch Sarah, and he doesn't, and he obeys that. And the Lord tells Abimelech, if you do touch Sarah, you'll die, and everybody around you will die. Of course, Abimelech obeys God. He doesn't do anything with Sarah. And then he says, Abraham's going to pray for you, and when Abraham prays, I'm going to hear his prayer. And I'm going to answer that prayer, and your whole household will become fruitful. And so that's verse 17. Abraham prays unto God, and the Bible says, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. So none of them could have children until Abraham prayed for them. That's interesting. You'll see that several times in the Old Testament where God will particularly listen to a certain man because he has a relationship with that man, and that's the one he'll listen to. And so when Abraham asks the Lord for Abimelech and his household to become fruitful, that's what the Lord does. And so it's a prayer for fruitfulness on someone else's behalf. And that's a good prayer. It's a good prayer for Abimelech, obviously. But prayer for fruitfulness on someone else's behalf. That was Abraham. I'll give you another one. Look over in Numbers chapter 21. This is Moses now. Moses, Numbers chapter 21, and verse 4. Here's Moses. Numbers 21:4 says, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom." That's talking about the Israelites. "And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way, and the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." So they hate the manna. They're getting tired of the manna. "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died." Now, I don't know how all this stuff will work out in the future and in heaven and in eternity, but fiery serpents, that would be kind of an interesting thing to watch. I mean, you see it on TV and stuff like that. That's all computer generated, all that stuff. But I'd like to see what these fiery serpents look like back then. God sends these fiery serpents among the people because they are speaking against Moses, speaking against God, and they're just complaining. Now look in verse 7. "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass. Everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And of course, Moses does that. He made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole. It came to pass, if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." So the people understand they've messed up. I mean, obviously, you know, they've been complaining. Now, after all these complaints, the camp, around the camp and in the camp, there's these fiery serpents that are sent. They're biting the people. And then they realize, you know, we've really messed up here. So they go to Moses and they say, "Pray for us. We've messed up." And so Moses prays and the Lord gives him an answer. He tells him, you know, make the serpent on the pole and all that kind of stuff. And so that's where you get your little medical symbol, you know, the pole and the snake wrapped around it and all that kind of thing. That's where you got that from, Numbers 21. But interestingly enough, here's Moses who prays for the people. And there's several other times where Moses prays. One time he prays for the people that God wouldn't destroy them, and God changes his mind about that deal and doesn't destroy the people. He told Moses, he said, "I'm going to wipe these people out. I'm going to start over with you." And Moses says, "Lord, if you do that, the Egyptians are going to think we just got drug out here to die." And so the Lord says, "Okay, well, I'll not bring on this evil that I wanted to bring on to these people because I'm tired of their complaining." And so Moses asking God to go a different course, and so he does. But over and over, you see these times where somebody's prayer makes a difference in someone else's life. Moses prays here, and it's going to make a difference in a lot of other people's lives. All these Israelites. I'll give you another one. Look over in 1 Samuel chapter 12. Over there in Numbers, you were just reading about a prayer for mercy on someone else's behalf. And the Lord answers that prayer. He shows mercy to the people, and it's because Moses asked him to. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 16. First Samuel 12:16. Here's Samuel. The people want a king like the other nations have. It says, "Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king." So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Now, this is just a little side note here. This is the first time, this is before Elijah asked the Lord to stop the rain. This is the first time a prophet asked the Lord to do something with the weather in Israel to prove to the people that either their wickedness is great before the Lord, or basically to chasten the people. So here's what Samuel does, and God sends the rain. Verse 19, "And all the people said unto Samuel, Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king." So it must have rained a lot, because they go back to Samuel and they beg Samuel to pray to stop this rain. And so that's what he does. God relents from that. But there's something interesting later on here in these verses. Look in verse 20. "Samuel said unto the people, Fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you." Now that's an interesting phrase in verse 23. That prayer and that ceasing thing shows up several times. Paul says, pray without ceasing. Several times the New Testament talks about praying and ceasing and praying without ceasing and things like that. Samuel says it this way. He says, I'm not going to sin against God in stopping praying for you. That's a pretty, we could probably just preach on that a while. If there's no other encouragement, let that at least be the wall that says, I need to be doing this. I should be praying for other folks. So Samuel says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way." So Samuel prays. You've seen it a couple times here, and the Lord answers those prayers and deals with the people according to Samuel's prayers. Here's another one. Look over in Esther chapter 4. Esther chapter 4. Here's a prayer for protection on someone else's behalf. Some prayer for protection. We're just talking about praying for others, and we're looking at some examples of folks who are the beneficiaries of someone else's prayer. Esther chapter 4, verse 15. The backstory to this, I think, hopefully you guys remember. I think you do. The Haman has decided he's going to kill all the Jews. He hates Mordecai, and he's going to kill all of Mordecai's people, the Jews. And now his plan has been found out by Esther, by Mordecai. Esther chapter 4, verse 15. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way, did according to all that Esther had commanded him. We won't read all the rest of this what goes on. But what ends up happening is, because Esther, Mordecai, the Jews begin to pray and fast, Haman gets found out by the king. And he finds out Esther is also a Jew. And he finds out that Mordecai has been instrumental in keeping the king alive through some assassination attempts. And so all this stuff starts coming to light in the next few chapters. Eventually, Mordecai, he builds these gallows and he's hanged on his own gallows. But all of this comes about because some people were praying about it. People say in Esther, you got the unseen hand of the Lord. Yeah, the Lord's not mentioned particularly in Esther, but you do see people praying and fasting and watching the Lord move in Esther in that book. So lots of folks here are the beneficiary of protection because someone's praying, and because Esther and Mordecai got folks to pray. So there's a good one. Here's another one. Last one in the Old Testament. Job chapter 42 is the last one we'll look at in the Old Testament. I'll give you a couple in the New Testament. Job chapter 42. Esther, Job. Job chapter 42 and verse 7. Here's a prayer for restoration for somebody else. Job chapter 42, verse 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks, 7 rams, go to my servant Job, offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept. I will listen to Job, but I'm not interested in hearing from you. I don't care what you say. You guys have claimed to speak for me for 42 chapters now, and you haven't said the right thing yet. So I'm not interested in hearing from you. However, if you go to Job, I'll listen to Job. So here's what they do. Verse 8, therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks, 7 rams, go to my servant Job, offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Namathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity, I like this verse, it's a great verse. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. If you guys are familiar with, we've grown through Job Sunday morning periodically. For Job to pray for these guys is a miracle. After going through what he went through and these three men just piling on the accusations, it's interesting and it is really telling, verse 10, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And so here is Job asking the Lord to restore these men to not... I imagine it's something like what Stephen said, what the Lord Jesus Christ said, you know, Lord, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do, something like that. And so the Lord hears Job's prayer, restores the men, but restores Job twice as much as he had before. And so here's the Lord listening to a man pray on someone else's behalf for restoration, and he answers that prayer. And there's a lot more that could be said about that, but I'm just showing you some examples where other people are the beneficiaries of someone else's prayer. And again, like I've said, you guys probably have some things in your mind where you are the beneficiaries of someone else's prayer. You might be in church tonight because somebody else prayed for you years ago. And now the Lord answered that prayer, you got saved, you've learned some Bible, and here you are on a Wednesday night, whereas years ago, you would never be in church on a Wednesday night. You wouldn't even think about being in church on a Wednesday night. You wouldn't even think about praying on a Wednesday night. But because somebody else prayed and got a hold of the Lord, the Lord put some things in your path, not things, but put some people in your path that guided and directed and gave you some light and gave you some Bible and helped lead the way and direct the way there. And so your life changed as a result of the prayers of someone else and the Lord hearing those prayers and dispatching some resources on your behalf, and here you are tonight. So those are a few examples in the Old Testament. Let me give you some in the New Testament now. Look over in Luke chapter 22. This is Jesus Christ praying for somebody. That, boy, that'd be something. Have the Lord Jesus Christ to hear him pray for you. That'd be something. Luke chapter 22 and verse... Oh, 31. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Yeah, we'll start there. Verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, you know what's going to happen right after this? Simon Peter is going to deny Jesus Christ. But that verse there, I've prayed for you, when you're converted, strengthen everybody else. So Simon Peter is going to be the man that after he denies Jesus Christ, he'll be restored at the end of the book of John, and then he will be the man that will preach at the beginning of Acts, Pentecost, and preach what Jesus Christ has done in the way of forgiveness of sins through his blood, and he will be the man that God uses to preach, I don't know, to thousands of people a few times in the Bible. And God will use him exactly the way he said in verse 32, when you're converted, strengthen thy brethren. That's exactly what he's going to do in the book of Acts. All right, that's Jesus Christ praying for somebody. That's a great one. Here's another prayer of Jesus Christ. Look in John chapter 17. This one is really good. John chapter 17. I'm just showing you some examples where other people prayed for other people, and the folks who were being prayed for were the recipients and the beneficiaries of someone else's prayer. So hopefully it's an encouragement to you to be praying for others. John chapter 17, verse 9. This is Jesus Christ praying right before he's going to the cross. He says in verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and all thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. So he prays that they'd be in unity together, just like Jesus Christ and the Father in unity together. And by the way, this prayer is going to be for you and me too. You'll find yourself in this one if you trusted Jesus Christ. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. None of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. So another thing the Lord prays for is protection. I don't want you to take them out of the world. I don't want you to remove them. Leave them here and keep them safe. Verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So he prays that they'd be sanctified. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now watch this. This is where you come in if you're saved. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You know who that is? That's you. You know what words you believe? When you trusted Jesus Christ, you believe the words of some apostle. Paul, John, John's a good one. Peter, you believe the words that were recorded through the men that God sent out. And so Jesus Christ says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. I'll stop there. You can read the whole thing. But that's the Lord's Prayer. I mean, you hear the Lord's Prayer, you know, Matthew and Luke and all that kind of stuff and all that. This is really what the Lord prays for the disciples, for any believers that would come after him. So that's a prayer for unity, for protection, for sanctification. And by the way, all of those prayer requests that Jesus Christ makes get answered. They're all answered. So that's Jesus Christ praying. I give you two more. Acts chapter 12. Here's Peter. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. The Bible says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. There's that prayer and ceasing thing again. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So Peter is clearly not worried about dying. He's asleep. He's just kind of waiting to be beheaded like James was earlier in the chapter. And behold, verse 7, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he's been, you know, I just see it. Peter is asleep in prison. This angel comes in, kicks him, whatever. Wake up, Peter. Wake up. Put your shoes on. Put your coat on. Let's go. We're leaving. Okay. So he puts his shoes on, puts his coat on, follows this angel through the first ward, through the second ward, all the way to the gates of the prison there. They leave the gates of the prison, and he's still trying to figure out, is this a dream? What just happened here? Where am I? And then the angel disappears. Verse 11, when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Now, do you know why that happened? Because verse 5 says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And God heard that prayer, and God dispatched some resources on Peter's behalf and sent this angel to go break Peter out of prison. And so here's what happens, verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So they are constantly in prayer for Peter. James has just been killed, and they're worried about Peter getting killed too. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. So Peter is broken out of jail. The church is having a prayer meeting about Peter, that he would get out of jail. Peter comes to the church house meeting, wherever it is, there at the house, and he knocks on the door. Rhoda sees Peter and is so excited to see Peter, runs back to the people praying and says, "Peter's here." And then the people all say, "Be quiet, Rhoda, we're praying." Verse 14, and when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. So here they are all begging God to get Peter out. Someone comes knocking at the door. Rhoda goes to the door. She hears Peter's voice and runs. She's so excited. The prayers have been answered. Peter's been freed from prison. She runs back to the church, the congregation there, and she tells them, and they say, "Rhoda, you're crazy. You're crazy." So, there's some ways to preach that, but here they are. This is what you're asking for. This is what you've been praying for, that Peter would get out. Now Peter's out, and you think that's crazy that Peter's out. So what kind of prayer is this? So anyway, they it's kind of funny. They finally realize it's Peter, and they let him in, and they all hug each other, and they're all happy. But all this happens because the church is praying for Peter. And God decides to send an angel to break him out. You know, the rest of the book of Acts, God doesn't necessarily need Peter to do anything. Peter could just as well have been martyred in Acts chapter 12, and God could go on doing what he was doing with other people. But because the church is praying for Peter, God takes those prayers, answers those prayers, breaks Peter out of prison, and the Lord will continue to use Peter. What I'm saying is, Peter is the recipient of somebody else's prayer life. Isn't it a blessing? And what a blessing to be the recipient of God's answer to someone else's prayer. Now how about you be the one, who asked the Lord to rain showers of blessing on someone else? You be the one to get a hold of God for the sake of someone else. And I'll leave you with this example. It's a question that pertains to this subject of praying for other people. The Lord often used someone else's faith to benefit someone who may not have had any faith, or someone who wasn't in the position to believe, or whatever the case may be. I give you this example. You guys remember the fella that was lowered down through the roof by his four friends? That guy had no way of getting to Jesus Christ. But because of four friends willing to bring him to Jesus Christ, that man got healed and that man got forgiven. So the question is this, as it pertains to the prayer life. What has your faith done for someone else? What has your prayer life done for someone else?